Shalom. Oh, very good. Let's do that again. Shalom. Good Shabbos, good Sabbath, or Shabbat Shalom, which means have a good Sabbath. And of course, we've started our Sabbath once the sun goes down, then the Sabbath comes. Then I can't work, so I go home tomorrow. No, it's not true. If I was an Orthodox Jew today, I would definitely be doing that, because we're not allowed to do any type of work on the Sabbath. We're not even allowed to use our phones or press a button on an elevator. We can't do anything. So it's quite interesting. But I came to know the Lord way back in 1966 through Dr. Billy Graham, who was in England. As you can tell, I'm from England originally. I worked with OM for many years, and I was in India for many years. How many of you are from India here? How many do we have from India? Anybody? Oh, one person. Where are you from? Kerala. Oh, I tell you, Malayalam speakers. We have Malayalam speakers here. I don't speak Malayalam. I speak Punjabi. Me Punjabi ati janta mu. Like me Punjabi me Hindi ati janta. How many German speakers do we have? Sprechen Sie auf Deutsch? Du kannst auf Deutsch sprechen. Ja, ein hier. Mir. Hablar españoles. Sí, aquí, aquí. Muy bien. Yo no entiendo españoles. How many of you speak Hebrew? Atame de berifrit. Tob ma odifrit. Very good. You know, I'm very fortunate. How many of you speak French? Je ne parle pas français. Je parle pas la français. La québécoise française, ouais? Ah, ouais. La parisienne française is better. Okay, good. I'm one of these fortunate people. I speak 13 languages. And I use my languages every single day here in Canada. Why do I say that? Because Canada is a mission field. Let me say that again. Canada is a mission field. We have people coming into Canada every single day. And we are on the mission field. As in fact, even though you can't see right across the door, it says you are now entering the mission field. Because as we leave this room, we are going into the mission field. And as I was looking through scriptures, and I love scriptures, and I was looking in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, something very important that is happening today right here on our doorstep, where people are literally turning away from God. And it says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasing, slanderous, without self-recklessness, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, and avoid such peoples. We are living in the last days. There's no two ways about it. The things that we are seeing, the things that we are hearing, the things that are looking. And I believe the end time model for evangelism is to equip every believer according to what it says in John 14:12, that we all need to be equipped to go and proclaim the gospel. I have the great joy of speaking about Jesus to so many people just in the area of Oakville where I live. We have Punjabis walking up and down the street where I live. And I look at them and I say, Saskrikaji, kyaal hai bhai sahab. They get so surprised when they hear that I speak Punjabi. They don't know what to do. And they come to me and they say, oh, you are talking my language. Where you are learning my language? Why you are talking in my Punjabi language? And they think I'm one of them. It's amazing. My wife was born and raised in India. Her parents were missionaries in India for 42 years. Her father's from Switzerland. Her mother is from Canada. Her father is Jewish background from Switzerland. Then she meets an English Jew who's an Orthodox. And within 2 weeks of proposing to her, she said, yes, I'll marry you. And we got married a year later. We've been married now 45 years and serving the Lord amongst Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, and Jewish people right here in Canada. Because there is a need today here in Canada to reach out to these people. There is a need today for people to stand up for their faith. We are to go out. And Jesus taught his disciples to demonstrate to the world that he's the only way to the Father. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. John 14 tells us very clearly, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Then he turns around and he tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. Hindus have this thing of 366 million gods. Sikhs have 10 gurus. Muslims have Allah. But let me tell you, Jesus is the only way. There is no other way that you will get to heaven. No other way. And yet people try so hard to see if they can get there. The Great Commission is to the church today. Matthew 28. And so often today, we have to realize we are living in the last days, and you are the hope of the world today to go out and proclaim that good news. Your lifestyle, the way you speak, the way we act, the way we are. We need to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Let me tell you, we sang about the promise of his coming tonight. He's coming. The signs are very clear. We can see this. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Yes, things are the same. But there's one hope we have, and that's Jesus is coming again. And we need to understand that Jesus is coming again. I live in Chile for part of the year. I live in Paraguay in part of the year. And there we are proclaiming the gospel to the Spanish people. But I also work amongst Orthodox Jews down there too. And we have a great time. We have a great time sharing the gospel. We love it when we can go out and proclaim. I have a team that we train, and we go out and we proclaim the good news that Jesus is coming. And I think so often we don't realize that your words, your actions, the way you behave, speak volumes. People are watching us 24/7. People are looking at you. People are asking, why are you different? Not too long ago, I was in Edmonton. While I was in Edmonton, a group of us were sitting in the corner of Tim Hortons, you know, your famous coffee shop. I'm not a Tim Hortons fan, but that's okay. But we were sitting in the corner, we were having our coffee and our tea, and all of a sudden, this person came up to us and said, are you Christians? So, of course, we said, yes, we're Christians. They said, there was something different about this corner. I'm a Jehovah's Witness, he says. Please tell me about this Jesus Christ whom you follow. So he sat down with us, and Al and myself and my wife, we all sat down together, and we showed him through scriptures that Jesus is the only way. He talked about Russell as though Russell was God himself. And it was very interesting, as we were talking, he said, there was something different when I walked in this place that I knew when I saw you that you were Christians. And I knew I had to come and talk to you. Today, that man is living in Edmonton, and he's still proclaiming the gospel to his Jehovah's Witness friends and to those around him. What a joy that is when you see things like this. Mass evangelism usually focuses on a gifted preacher who performs most of the ministry in a large, expensive venue like a stadium. But I'm here to say that we are all anointed speakers when we have Jesus in our lives, when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've all been given the ability to speak about the one whom we love. I remember when I first met my wife, I was so excited. I was in my little gospel hall when I came to know the Lord. And here we were having an evangelism outreach. And lo and behold, there was a team from OM that came, and they were there working with us. And here was one young lady that stuck out in the crowd. So I went and spoke to her, and I says, hi. I said, what's your name? She said, my name is Esther. Oh, I said, pleased to meet you. Then I had to go and speak to all these children the Jungle Fable stories and tell them about Jesus. And then after that happened, I started looking at this young lady and started thinking about it. And I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Canada. My prayer had been, because I was in India for 15 years, my prayer had been, Lord, give me an Indian wife. I need an Indian wife. Indian women take care of their husbands. And I needed someone to take care of me. They make these most wonderful curries, ala gobi, and all kinds of things. So I said, Lord, I need an Indian wife. So I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Canada. I thought, Canada, India, too far apart. So I said, well, very nice to meet you. But then the next day I was thinking, she has an accent. So I went in and I said, but you have an accent. Oh, she said, I'm from Switzerland. My father's from Switzerland and we speak Schweizerdeutsch. Oh, I said, ich kann auch auf Schweizerdeutsch verstehen. So we began to talk. She said, yes, but she said, but I was born and raised in India. Yes, I found my wife. And I was so excited that I found my wife. So after that had happened, we began to talk, and I asked her, what's your ministry? What do you think the Lord is calling you to? And we both had the same heart of ministry that we knew that we were to be together. After 2 weeks of meeting her, I proposed to her. 2 weeks. Some of you waited 5 years. Some of you waited 6 years. Don't know why you wait so long. 2 weeks. And then after I proposed to her, we waited 1 year. She went back to India. I went back to the ship Logos that you had seen. I went back to the Logos. I was working on the Logos at the time. And then after that, I came back and she came to England. She had a ring on her finger and a year later we were married. It's now been 45 years and we've been in ministry 45 years serving the Lord. Serving the Lord here in Canada, in Chile, as well as in Paraguay. And what a joy that is when people turn around and say, well, you have to be a big, important speaker. No, no. God has given you the words to speak. And in these last days, we need to speak forth the goodness and the kindness of God. We need to speak forth what He means to you. How much do you love God? When I met my wife, I was so excited. I told everyone, I found my wife. And they said, are you crazy? Yes, I met her 2 weeks. I proposed to her. Are you nuts? Are you from this planet? One person said, oh, let me tell you something. It'll all be finished in a year. 45 years later, I keep saying to her, when is it finished? She said, it will never be finished. Even in glory, you'll have me. I said, hallelujah. It's exciting. But we love to go and share with people. We have a DVD on the story of Sadhu Sundar Singh. If you've never read his story, you need to read his story. I don't have the book. I have a table out there too, by the way. And you'll see all stuff from Israel, where my parents are from. We have olive wood stuff there. We have sweaters from Paraguay. We have leather things from Paraguay and sweaters, from Chile and all kinds of stuff. So come and see that just across from the table there. But here we are. We go out and we share the story of Sadhu Sundar Singh. And we go and watch the story with these Punjabis. And we sit with them and we proclaim the gospel with them. And they get so excited. And they say, brother, we've never heard such things. We've never heard about this man, Jesus. So I talk about Guru Jesus. Holy Jesus, and that he dies for karma, and they are willing to listen. I think outside the industrialized Western, mass crusades are often even larger and involved more dimension. Sometimes miraculous healings take place, all kinds of anointing takes place, but the main things that we need to do is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. In Acts, it tells us that you are my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. God has called us to go forward. He's called us to proclaim. He calls us to go and share your testimony, your faith, your love of God. When we do this, we know that these words that we speak will never return unto him void, because it sticks in the hearts of people. Just the other day, I had met a young man who turned around to me and he says, "Oh, well, you know what? I've been to church all my life. I've been to church and I've done this and I've done that in the church." So then I asked him, "What type of church have you been to?" "I've been to so many churches, I can't count them." He said, "Now I go to the Catholic Church." And then he said, "I've always been a Catholic." So I said, "You've only been to Catholic churches then." So then after we started speaking, he turned around and he said, yeah, he said, "You evangelicals think you have the answers. I don't have the answers, but the Word of God has the answers. This is where we find our answers. This is why we read it and apply it." Many of us understand what the word Bible means. Am I correct? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. And when you've got those basic instructions, then we can go and proclaim the good news. And the good news is Jesus Christ is alive and well today, and he's coming back again. But you see, so many of us don't even believe it. I often ask people, why do you believe what you believe and how do you know it's real? And in the last days, people are going to ask you that question. Why do you believe what you believe? How do you know your faith is real? Look, I came from an Orthodox Jewish family. We went to synagogue every Saturday morning. We did tradition all of our lives. We would have the yarmulke on. I would have my tzitzits on. I would have everything that's pertaining to Judaism. I would have the lox. We would pray. And we would face Jerusalem, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, and we would pray. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe. But did we believe it? That's another story. I speak to a lot of Mennonites in South America. We have a camp in South America. We have Mennonites, we have the Spanish people come. We have a great camp. And I tell you, in this great camp that we have, many of the Mennonites say, "We have a tradition of faith. Everything we do is just tradition. We all believe in Jesus. We all know that Jesus is real." But then I ask them, "Do you have a relationship with Jesus?" And many of them look at me as though I'm absolutely crazy. How can you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you ever received him into your heart? John chapter 1, verse 12, "To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the child of God." Have you received him? They look at me and they say, "Well, no, we've never done that. We've never been taught that. We don't understand what you're saying." And we thank God today that in Paraguay, we now have a group of young people that have accepted Jesus, and they come together and we do a follow-up meeting with them. And they literally are understanding what it means to receive Jesus as their Savior. What a joy that is to see. What a joy it is to see someone out here on the streets when they accept Jesus. I remember the day my father died, and I was told to go back to England, and I went back to England. I hadn't seen my father in many years. When I became a Christian, they kicked me out of my home. They had a burial service for me. I'm dead to my family. And I remember going there, and I saw my dad in the casket, and I kept saying, if only you came to know Yeshua before you died. And then the nurse says to me, "Please go to the office. We would like to talk to you." So I went to the office and I waited there, and a nurse came and said, "Oh, here's the letters you sent your father." None of them opened. And that broke my heart. But then after that, the young lady turned around and says, and this is a Jewish hospital, turned around to me and said, "So I understand you're a messianic believer. Tell us about Yeshua." So I started sharing the gospel with her. And at the end of it, I told her, "Would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? Do I have to go to church to receive him?" "No, you can do it right here and now." And you know, most of the time we're afraid to say that. "You come to church on Sunday and there you can receive Jesus." No, we do it now. Tomorrow may never come. And so therefore she accepted the Lord right there in the office. Just as I was praying, in walked another nurse, and she looked at me and she says, "Oh, you must be Shlomo." Shlomo is my Hebrew name. "You must be Shlomo." And I said, "Yes, I am." So she said, "Tell me about this Yeshua." And so I started sharing with her about Jesus. And halfway through, she said, stop. She said, I'm already a messianic believer. And I was with your father right up until he died. And he asked me to write you a note. Tell my son I love him. Tell my son I'm sorry for the way we've treated him. Tell my son that one day he'll see me again. My father accepted the Lord a half an hour before he died. We have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who is real. We have a God who will be there. And he'd accepted the Lord before he died. And this girl and my friend David, who took me to see the Billy Graham Crusade, they got married and went to Australia to work with the International Jewish Society. We have a God who's in control. And you see, so often we're ashamed or we're afraid or we just don't want to share our faith. But people one day are going to say, why do you believe what you believe? Do you know we have freedom in this country right now? But a time is coming towards the end of the time when churches will be closed down, where we will not be able to speak so freely. We live in a free country at this time where we can share our faith. Just think of some of these countries where they can't do that. I remember when I was in Poland and people were meeting in the woods because they were afraid to meet together and the secret police would come and take them away. Russia, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan. People were afraid. We have freedom here that we can literally share the gospel today. We are heading towards that last days. In Matthew 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We need to be out there proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to go and share what Jesus means to us. I have no problem sharing. I enjoy sharing. I enjoy sitting down with people, all kinds of people. We have worked with many churches. And I remember one time when we came to live in Ontario, we were living in Alberta at one time, we came to Ontario. And OM had partnered up with Jarvis Street Baptist Church. And they said, we're going out to do evangelism. I thought, great, no problem, let's go. And we went onto Church Street. Had no idea what Church Street was at the time. I soon learned. And so here we were on the streets, proclaiming the gospel, sharing with people. And I met one young man. His name was Tony. Tony said, yes, he said, I'm a Christian. I was born again at one time. Notice what I'm saying. He said, but my father was so busy being a pastor, he had no time for us children. So my sister, she moved and she went to live in Australia, where she could be far away from our family. I found love elsewhere, and I turned to a man who is my partner today. He said, I find more love from him than what I do from the church, than what I do from my father, and what I do from anybody else in the Christian world. And I think how sad that is when they find love elsewhere. But we are coming to that time when in the last days these sort of things will happen. The Bible tells us there will be a falling away, and many people have fallen away. But there's also going to be a time when we see a great revival, where people will come back and come to know Jesus as their Savior. I get more and more excited when I think of the good things the Lord is doing. I was on the bus once in Scotland. And here I was on this double-decker bus. I was attending Bothwell Street Bible School at the time. And I was working at the Royal Infirmary in Glasgow. And here I was on this bus. And here I sat all alone reading my Bible. And all of a sudden, this drunken man came on the bus. And he sat down and he just shouted, oh, Jesus. So I went and sat beside him and said, oh, you know my friend. And he looked at me with his Scottish accent and he said, what are you talking about, lad? I said, you know my friend, Jesus, you just mentioned his name. He said, "What are you talking about, lad?" "Jesus." He said, "No, I don't know him." I said, "Then why did you mention his name?" He said, "Well, everybody says that name." I said, "Yes, but that name means something to me. He's my best friend. He's the one I serve. He's the one I go to worship on Sundays." He said, "I have no idea what you're talking about, lad." So I gave him something to read. And on the back of the tract was my name and where I was staying at the Bible college and my phone number at the Bible college. Several weeks later, I had a phone call and the secretary came to see me. "There's a man on the phone and he wants to talk to you. And he wants to talk to you now. Can you come?" Well, I said, "Well, I'm just about ready to do my exams." I said, "Can you ask him to call back?" "No," he said, "he wants to talk to you now." So I went and I said, "Hello, this is Steve. How can I help you?" He said, "Do you remember me, lad?" He said, "You're the one who gave me this tract or this paper to read." "Well, I did, and I've not slept in weeks and weeks." So I said, "Oh, praise the Lord." "No, don't praise the Lord," he says. He said, "I'm coming to see you." I said, "Oh, great." He said, "I'm coming to kill you." "Oh," I said, "I'm going home today." So a couple of hours later, I was able to get my exam done. I was writing a Greek exam at the time. I got my exam done. And just then, the secretary came and said, "There's a man at the door. His name's Don. And he seems very high rate. And he wants to see you." I said, "Oh," I said, "this is the man that's going to kill me." So then I said, "You can have this from my room and you can have this from my room. I'll leave everything to you. Just take it all." So then after that happened, I went and sat with him. And we went into the up to the dining room area. And then he started talking to me and saying, "I've not slept." He said, "I don't know about this man, Jesus, but whatever he is, I'm not sleeping." I said, "No, because you're going to hell if you don't accept him." So he said, "What's hell?" So I went through the four spiritual laws with him. And we went all the way through these spiritual laws. And then at the end of it, he said, "Do you mean I need to accept Jesus before I die and then I'll go to heaven?" I said, "Aye, that's what it means." So he looked at me and he says, "Well, how do I do that?" So I said, "Well, I can pray for you and then you can just repeat the prayer." "Oh, no, I'm not going to repeat your prayer. It's going to come from my heart, not your heart." And I thought, oh, he knows this one already. So therefore, we sat there and I said, "Okay, why don't you pray?" He said, "Okay." And this is how his prayer went. "Hey, God, I understand you have a wee lad up there. I understand this wee lad's name is Jesus. And that this man died on a cross for me, poor thing." He said, "I want to receive him into my heart. I want you to transform my life. And if you can do that, then you can do more than what I thought." He says, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict and I smoke like a trooper. So if you can transform my life, then I will follow you. Amen." And I thought, okay. He said, "Do you think he heard me?" I said, "I think the whole school heard you." So then after that had taken place, it was time for dinner. So we went and had dinner. Then he looked at me and he said, "I've got to go and have a cigarette." And one of his prayers was, "Lord, the next time I smoke, I want to throw up. The next time I drink, I want to throw up. And the next time I do drugs, I want to almost die. Not quite die, but almost die." So straight after dinner, he wanted to go and have a cigarette. So he went outside, lit up his cigarette, and he threw up. And I looked at him and I said, "Don, that's number one." So then a few days later, I was down in the city center of Glasgow walking, and I see this man by a bar, and he was sitting on the curb, and he was throwing up. And I went up to him, and I said, "Hello, Don, is that you?" And he said, "Aye." And I said, "Number two." Several weeks later, I had a phone call from the Royal Infirmary Hospital where I was working at, and he said, "There's a man here that's looking for you, and he says he wants to see you now." So I went in, and there he was on a gurney in the emergency department, and he just looked at me and he says, "That's number three." I said, there we go. You see, God answers prayer. He said, well, if God can do that, I need him today. Lord Jesus, just transform my life. That man at the age of 55 went to Bible school. He became a missionary. And even today, at that age of over 90 years of age, he's still preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Why? Because he knows the time is near. He gets in his old Ford van with a great big speaker on there, and he goes into the villages of Scotland, and he says, come on, all of you in your houses, otherwise I'll make it louder. And people come out, and they hear the gospel, and he proclaims the good news. You see, folks, what I'm trying to get at is that each one of us has been given a responsibility in these last days. We've all been given a responsibility. In Revelation 13, it says, also it all causes both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand and the forehead, and no one can buy or sell unless he has this mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. That day is coming. Have you not noticed we are becoming more and more of a cashless society? In Sweden, they're already testing out this mark of the beast, where they can go to a vending machine, put it over their hand, over the little code there, and they can get their drinks and their candies or whatever they need. The time is coming. But it seems to me, and I don't know about you, but it seems to me as though we in North America are just saying, well, it'll happen when it happens. Then we'll do something about it. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today. And therefore, we need to proclaim it today and go forward. Things are happening so rapidly before our very eyes, and we don't realize this. It tells us also in Revelation 21 and verse 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and sexually immoral and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Every time I see people walking around, and if I've not shared my faith, my heart goes to them because I think of this verse, that these people are going to a lake of fire. Things are happening rapidly, but it seems as though it's not fast enough for some of us to wake up. And we need it to come faster. We need things to take place now. And everywhere I turn, I'm seeing people saying, oh God, I need you. Let me tell you, I was in one of the grocery stores here in Oakville, and there was a lady there with her kids, and the kids were playing around. I was with my daughter. They were playing around, and all of a sudden, this lady shouted, oh God! So I went and said to her, madam, please don't be so greedy. He's my God too. And she looked at me. She said, what are you talking about? I said, you said my God. He's not just your God, he's my God too. She said, what are you talking about? And from there, I was able to share the gospel and ask my daughters, would you take the kids a bit while I talk to this lady? So she did. She took the kids. And I started sharing my faith with her. Started telling her about who Jesus is. Started telling her the truth. And she turned around and she said, I've never heard such things. Folks, we have a story to tell to the nation. And the nations have come to Canada. Thousands are coming here every day to live. And it is our responsibility to proclaim the gospel. Will it be any different today than it will be in the last days? No, we still need to share the gospel. Will it be any different? It will be a little bit more difficult in the last days. It will be even harder in some ways. But we still have to stand up and stay focused on what God has called us to do. Stay in focus. I often share my faith wherever I go. Sometimes my wife is a kind of a little bit, especially nowadays, she kind of says, okay, honey, you just go and do it. I remember once being in the Bay Shopping Center. You all know about the Bay. So I was at the Bay Shopping Center in Oakville Place, and there was this lady there, and she came up to me, and she'd heard me preach one time. She says, "Pastor, kannst du gebeten für mich bitte? Can you pray for me?" So I said, "Sure, no problem." So I prayed for her. And I said, "Well, let's just go around the corner here." So we just went around the corner, and I prayed for her. I didn't know she was Pentecostal. Scared the life out of me. I just prayed for her. "Lord, you know what she's going through right now, the difficulty with her husband, and you know all this pain she's in. Lord, I just pray that you indeed just help her." The next thing I know, she's on the floor. And I'm looking, thinking, "Oh, what have I done? I've killed her." I didn't know what else to think. And just then, the shop assistant came around. I thought, "Oh, what do I say?" My wife looked at me and said, "See you later, honey. This is all you're doing." And so then I had to share with the lady what I had done. I was praying for her. She went, this lady got up and she says, "Dankeschön." And she walked off, left me there to explain everything to this lady. As well, we believe in prayer, and I prayed for her. I said, I didn't know she was going to fall down, but she fell down. And I said, she didn't hurt herself, but then she just got up, as you saw, and she walked away. To this very day, that lady who, that shop assistant, "Don't come anywhere near me." But she knows where I stand. She knows I'm a Christian. She knows I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I go to the synagogues here. I take Christians into the synagogues to have a tour, to have a look. And the rabbis know I'm a Christian. They know I come from an Orthodox background. We have a great time of debating and talking and sharing. And you'll be surprised on how many rabbis are even ashamed of their own faith. Because they know it's a faith of tradition. Folks, let's not make our faith a faith of tradition, but let's make it real and personal so that people can see there's a difference in us. That people will know that Jesus is alive and well in your life. That they will look at you. How many of us pray for our food sometimes in restaurants? Hopefully most of you do. I was in a restaurant with some people. And they said, "Pastor Steve, would you pray?" And I said, "Sure, I'll pray for the food." And this young man at the end of the table looked at me and said, "Please don't pray loud." I said, "Why not?" He said, "My friends over there are from my school and they don't know I'm a Christian." Oh, wrong thing to say to Steve Hawkins. And so the food came. They said, "Pastor Steve, would you pray?" So I prayed. And as I prayed, he looked at me and he said, "Shh." I said, "Okay. Father, we thank you for this food." I prayed so loud, the whole restaurant started praying again. But you see, so often we're afraid to even pray. I pray with people on the phone. I pray with them on the bus. I pray with them whenever I can. I remember when I first moved to Ontario, taking this thing called the GO train. Never been on one in my life. Double-decker train. Buses, yes, but trains, no. So I went on there early in the morning. My wife would say, "Where are you going?" I said, "I don't know, I'm just going on the train, but going to Toronto and then come back." Oh, she said, "Just come back safe." That's all she said, "Just come back safe." So I'd be on the plane. Have you ever seen people in the morning? People are the most funny species first thing in the morning. They don't know where they're going. I'm sure they don't. Or it's such a habit that they just go. You know? So here I was on this train going into Toronto, one holding a paper. So I sat beside this person, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. And as we began, he said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning." Then he just stared at the paper for the next 20 minutes. And I nudged his arm. He fell asleep. Nudged his arm. Oh, I said, "What language do you speak? I have some tracts here." And he just looked at me and said, "English." I said, "Good." So I gave him an English tract. And then we began to talk a little bit. My phone number on the back, and he phones me up. "Can we meet at Tim Hortons?" I said, "Sure." So we met there on Iroquois Shore in Oakville. And he said, "You'll never know how timely this was that you would call me today. You'll never know the problems I'm going through. And you are the one who told me about Jesus, and I think I need Jesus." And from there, we began to talk. And we still meet each other, even to this day. He's accepted the Lord, and he goes to a Baptist church. But he knows Jesus. That's between you and God, not me. But here, I mean, it's just amazing to see what God is doing. And folks, we need to be on fire for Jesus every day. In fact, we're just going to start our outreach at the end of May. Next Thursday, I go back to Paraguay. And I shall be in Paraguay for a week in a Bible school in south of Paraguay, in Encarnación. Then I'm in Ascension, where we'll be talking about our camp for next summer, for next January, and talking about that. And then we'll come back. I have a group coming from Albany, New York. This should be fun. They're coming from Albany, New York, and they're coming to learn about Islam. So I'm going to teach them all about Islam. We're going to a mosque. We're going then to go out into different areas where the Muslims are, and we're going to go and proclaim Jesus. The week after, we're working with Moulton Bible Chapel. Some of you may know Moulton Bible Chapel. We're going to be working there for a whole week, doing evangelism, teaching on Hinduism, Islam, Sikhism, Judaism. You want to come and join us? You can. Come and talk to me afterwards. Come for a whole week. It's a big commitment for a whole week. But we've got 20 people coming, and we're going to be going door to door in the area, inviting them to a barbecue on the 1st of July and sharing the gospel. This is so important that in these last days in which we are living, we need to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream. The important part, on the last days, on the last days, declares the Lord, I will pour out my spirit. We need to be out there. We need to be standing up. We need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers, on marching on to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. You know, those words need to be changed. Backward, Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. Christ, I write for Master. What do we do? Nothing. And it's time for us to start marching on again, proclaiming the good news, sharing the good news. The time is coming. And each one of us will stand before an almighty God. And each one of us will stand before Jesus. And each one of us will have to answer the question, what did you do with my son? What did you do with me? Did you keep me to yourself? You know, the best kept secret today is that Jesus Christ is alive and well. It's one of the best kept secrets today. And we need to go forth proclaiming the good news and sharing what Jesus asked us to share. And having compassion upon the people, he felt for them. And how much more should we have compassion for the people that we have around us who know that there's something in this universe that's keeping us going, that know there has to be something, and that something is Jesus Christ. And we need to go forth and proclaim. I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things, until everyone has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I want to challenge you tonight. Will you say, "Here, my Lord, send me"? Will you say, "Lord, I'm willing to go where you want me to go"? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I'll stand up for you"? Or will you say, "Lord, I can't do this"? And you know, many of us can't. That's why we need to pray that God gives us boldness. That's why we pray, "Lord, give us the words to say. Lord, help me with my neighbors." My neighbors know exactly what I stand for. Be surprised what happens in my backyard when I'm pulling the weeds and I'm singing, "Pulling the weeds, I'm pulling the weeds. Lord, I come rejoicing, pulling the weeds." And my neighbors say, How can you rejoice pulling the weeds? I say, because every one of them reminds me of sin. And therefore it has to go, it has to go. And they say, what type of a Christian are you? But you see, the thing is that they know what I stand for. And just not too long ago, my neighbor's husband had a heart attack. Who did they come to first? They came to me. Steve, pray for him, for Franco. Pray for him that he'll come through this. But you see, so many people don't even know that in our homes that we're Christians. In fact, I think I got my neighbors a bit confused because I also celebrate Passover. I also celebrate Hanukkah. And I also celebrate different festivals of Jewish customs. I'm more Jewish than I was when I was Jewish. In fact, I never left Judaism. I came into the fulfillment of Judaism. I became a completed Jew. And we celebrate the festivals. And my neighbor said, are you Christian or are you Jewish? And I said, well, Jesus was Jewish and I'm Jewish and I'm following Jesus who's the Son of God. So therefore, I've come into the completion of Judaism. And I said, oh, you're confusing us. But I've been able to sit down and proclaim to them the good news of Jesus Christ. And they know exactly where I stand. I had another neighbor, a Muslim, just at Christmas time. Out in the middle of the road, I was driving up the road. My wife here, and she said, there's a guy in the road, slow down, slow down. And it was my Muslim neighbor. He said, I need to come and speak to you. I said, why is that? I want to see what this Christmas is all about. I've been here for 30 years and no Christians told me what Christmas is all about. I said, well, you come. My wife said, but we've got to go shopping. We'll do that later. And so we went home. And we sat down. He brought his Quran. And I had my Bible. And we started looking into the Quran and looking into the Bible. And we shared Jesus. He said, now I think I'm beginning to understand. I said, but remember this. It's appointed for man once to die and after this the judgment. So you could be dead tomorrow and then you're going to face God. What will he say to you? And he looked at me and he said, oh, inshallah, I'll be okay. Oh, inshallah, which means I hope. I hope. Maybe. If it's God's will. Inshallah. I said, I don't have to say inshallah. And then I took him to John 14. He said, I wish I could have that assurance that when I die, I go to paradise. Nowhere in the Quran does it say you'll have that assurance. Not even Muhammad himself. And so therefore I said, but in the scriptures it teaches us that we have the assurance of salvation. And if you have the assurance of salvation, go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And we know that in these last days you have commissioned us to go into the world and proclaim the good news. Father, we cannot do this by ourselves. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to lead us and to direct us. And so, Father, I pray that you'll indeed give us that boldness to stand up for you, that boldness to ask you to lead us to the right person. Give me one soul today, Lord. One soul. Father, I just pray that we will indeed see many come to know Jesus. Father, we don't want them to join a denomination. We don't want them to join a church. We want them to come to Jesus and follow him. We love you, Lord. And we say thank you that you are still in the business of saving men and women, boys and girls all over this world. Thank you for the immigrants coming to this country. Thank you that they're coming. But Father, help us to realize we have a responsibility of reaching them with the gospel in these last days, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.